Promises. It's one of those things that we run across often. It's a word that's almost thrown around without a whole lot of thought. We're forever hearing people saying things that they promise they're going to do, knowing perfectly well that they're not going to because, well, the word itself doesn't carry with it a great deal of weight. It's just something we say. What about when God says it? Does it carry a bit more weight there? Well, as we read in, as Rhea read for us in Genesis, we have God making an extraordinary promise to Abram. And at that time, it's still Abram, and Abram is 99 years old. And God says, tell you what, I'm going to make a covenant between me and you. Covenant is a particular kind of promise and will greatly increase your numbers. Abram was 99. It's not out of the question for a male human to father children at 99. It's rare even now, but it's not impossible. But then God goes on to say, oh, by the way, and it's going to be with Sarah, who is not 99. She's only 89. That, I think, is unique. God came and made a promise to Abram and said, not only am I going to do that, I'm going to change your name. So even your name is going to say that this promise is going to happen. What do we make of that? Well, obviously, we know what follows after that. Well, we know, first of all, that Abraham and Sarah laugh, which I think is a reasonable response to that. I know perhaps it's not the best thing to do when God is talking to you, but really, that's a strange thing that's going to happen. And then it does. Through the miraculous intervention of God, Abraham and Sarah have a child. And that's the beginning of this great, huge number of descendants that come from these two old people that God made a promise to. Does God still make promises? And if so, are they as significant as that one? Are they as dramatic as that one? Well, maybe they're not as dramatic as that one. But I suspect that most of us, perhaps even all of us, have had some experience as we've moved our way through our lives, where God has promised something to us that is simply impossible. Or at least we think it's impossible. And maybe it's so ridiculous we laugh. Not so much because it's amusing in and of itself, but because we don't know what else to do. We've been presented with this impossible thing from somebody who should know better, and it makes us laugh. This is not unknown. It's an uncomfortable kind of laughter, but we still see it now and then. But does God still make promises? Well, he does. And the things that God promises can be of the most profound nature. Sometimes they are as significant as, well, as that was for Abraham and Sarah. I know all kinds of people who have been told in one way or another that they were not going to have children and believed nonetheless that they were, had this deep feeling that God has said they are going to have children, and they do. And we can dismiss that if we like, and if you want, I'll discuss it with you later. Because we weren't supposed to have children. We weren't supposed to have children twice. After we had twins, we weren't supposed to have children at all again, unless we got some kind of significant help, and we didn't. And, well, 10 years later, we had Neela. And we did laugh. I think the doctor thought we were either hysterical or crazy. I mean, he said, well, Heather's pregnant. And we laughed. I mean, we weren't being disrespectful to him or anything, but it was just so absurd. And yet, here we are with children. Neela's middle name is Grace. It's not a mistake. It's a sign of God's goodness to us in ways that are absolutely unexpected. God's promise to us, and sometimes the promise is very direct as it was to Abraham and Sarah, saying that you will have children. But the promises God makes to us even now are still sometimes as hard to believe as that. God promises that we will have peace in our souls. which at some parts of our life, or at least some times of our life, I suspect is every bit as much a miraculous happening as having a baby at 90. God makes promises to us not because God won't do things unless he lays it out for us. It's not that God won't bless us unless a promise has been made and then he has to keep it. It's that God makes promises to us because that's something we understand. God has been loving his creation since the moment of creation. God has been caring for us since before we knew God even existed, before we knew anything about God. Because God's the one who said, I will care for you. I will be your God. And those words are explicitly laid out over and over again in the Old Testament. But they're not new there. They're God explaining what is to us so we know that we have something we can depend on. Every single one of us has had at least one broken promise in our life. Either we've broken it ourselves. I know I have at least one. Okay, I have a lot more than one. People have promised to do things for me that they haven't. It's easy for us to get caught up in this notion that promises, yeah, they happen a lot of the time, but not all the time, and apply that to God as well. And we need to remember that God doesn't break his promises. We don't always understand exactly how they're going to be kept. We don't always understand the timing. As I think I've mentioned before, my stepmother, who was one of my professors before she sort of married in, had this little saying that she gave to provide comfort for us, that God always acts too late. And it's not that God acts too late. It's that from our perspective, God acts too late. We're always in such a hurry. We always think that we know exactly what needs to happen. And when it doesn't happen exactly the way we want, we say, well, God's let us down. But our measure is too short. Our ability to know what God is going to do is limited by our own human experience. There are many promises that we see in Scripture that we haven't experienced yet. Ultimate peace. A world in which conflict and destruction are unknown. We don't have one of those yet. And we don't know everything about God's timing, and we certainly don't know why God chooses to do things when God chooses, at least not all the time. But what we do know is that God makes good on the promises that he has made to us. And that even in the midst of not knowing how it's going to happen, or honestly, even if it will happen, we cling to the fact that over and over again through Scripture, church history, through our own history, we have seen God completing the promises that he made. In Lent, we have the experience of living towards the promise. One of the things we do in Lent is we give things up. We focus on what we don't have to help us look forward to what we will have. In the season of Lent, leading into the season of Easter, we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus. I don't know anybody who wants Lent to be longer. I know some people wish Lent was shorter. I know some people wish Lent was about a day. But it's a concrete example to us of how often we have to live through the reality of where we are before the promise is fulfilled. Not because in the midst of living through that reality, we disbelieve the promise, but instead we hold on to the reality of the one who has given the promise and say that's what we depend on, not what we feel like now. And if sometimes it makes you laugh, that's okay. Abraham and Sarah laughed. They denied laughing, but they laughed nonetheless. Isaac still came. God doesn't expect us to be something we're not. God doesn't expect us to suddenly stop being human beings who are impatient, who are worried, who don't know what's going to happen next. What God does expect is that when we receive the promise from God, we pay attention to its reality and we cling to it rather than what we feel is going to happen or what we're worried won't. Amen.